Good afternoon, it's 5:06 and 73 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
They don't really believe these nurses and doctors that are there giving the vaccination really have their best interests at heart.
The COVID vaccine is helping create equity in underserved neighborhoods.
The CDC says the COVID-19 vaccine can be administered simultaneously with the flu shot.
State leaders say COVID rates are alarmingly high.
A new COVID treatment is in high demand and low supply.
In sports, the Moorhead State soccer team is on the road this afternoon.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report.
Showers and thunderstorms likely tonight with patchy fog after midnight. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies with a low around 64. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news. COVID-19 vaccine outreach is serving as a catalyst for improving health equity in some lower-income communities. The Cancer Justice Network is bringing nurses, doctors, and navigators into housing projects, churches, senior centers, high schools, and other sites in underserved neighborhoods in the greater Cincinnati area. Director of the Cancer Justice Network, Steve Sunderland, says the American healthcare system has largely ignored poorer populations, and that has created mistrust.
They have terrible stories of going to the emergency room and waiting hours and then being disrespected. They have terrible stories of healthcare bills coming to them when they never even knew they were going to get a bill. So they're resentful, they're angry, they're upset.
Along with a hot meal, he says the team is providing vaccinations plus reliable information about vaccines and listening to people's concerns. Sunderland says the navigators also discuss other health issues like cancer, heart disease, and diabetes and connect people to resources.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends that individuals who have not received their first or second dose of the COVID-19 vaccine should get the flu shot on the same day. The organization says everyone 6 months and older should get a flu vaccine every season, with rare exceptions. Vaccination is particularly important for people who are at a higher risk of serious complications from the flu. Sarah Bostick, a pharmacy manager at Fruth, tells WSAZ individuals can receive both vaccines at the same time. The shots just need to be placed on different arms.
It's just important to keep them separate, especially if you were to have an allergic reaction. That way we would know, hey, my left arm where I got my COVID shot turned red, swelled, things like that. That way we know which vaccine you could have had a problem with, and just to make sure, you know, we keep track of everything for documentation.
The CDC is recommending that everyone be vaccinated against the flu by the end of October.
Kentucky is currently ranked third in the nation for COVID-19 incidence rates. In Clay County, the third highest in the nation, only 40% of the population have gotten the vaccine. Governor Andy Beshear tells WKYT that out of the top 10 counties with the highest cases, six are in Kentucky.
We hold far too many of the top 10 counties in terms of incident rate. Redder that map. That means the more sickness there is, the more illness there is.
Kentucky also ranks 10th for the daily average of cases over the last 7 days.
Kentucky hospitals are treating patients who have tested positive for the virus with monoclonal antibodies to prevent serious hospital stays. The synthetic antibodies attack the spike proteins on a COVID-19 virus, preventing it from latching on to a healthy cell. Dr. Stephen Stack, commissioner of the Kentucky Department for Public Health, says monoclonal treatment is only a temporary fix, and it shouldn't prevent anyone from getting the vaccine.
The cure for the pandemic is vaccination, not monoclonal antibodies, and so I hope that folks will continue to increase their vaccine uptake.
Data shows those treated with monoclonal antibodies have an easier time recovering.
Lexington's Baptist Health Hospital has called for reinforcement from the National Guard. Dee Beckman is the chief nursing officer at the hospital. She tells LEX18 her staff is taxed right now and needs help with almost every aspect of patient care. Beckman says she hopes the information serves as a wake-up call for the unvaccinated.
We normally don't call them in unless there's some type of natural disaster. So I do hope that if people see the National Guard in the hospitals, they realize that, okay, this really is serious, and hopefully they will seek out a vaccine.
Beckman says the majority of Baptist Health's COVID-19 cases are from unvaccinated individuals. The deployment agreement is for 2 weeks, but officials say the term can easily be extended should the need arise. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for Morehead State Public Radio comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. Located near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum, and steel cans, one- and two-numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, and mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Morehead, Rowan County, and Morehead State University.
Kentucky Republican lawmakers are urging the Biden administration to maintain a hard line against the ascendant Taliban in Afghanistan. Representative Andy Barr is the lead signatory of a letter calling on the Democratic administration to maintain sanctions against the Taliban, including a travel ban, arms embargo, and asset freezes. The Hill reports 21 lawmakers signed on to the letter, expressing concern that Biden's actions could grant legitimacy to forces which gained swift control over the country amid the U.S. exit. The letter comes as Senator Mitch McConnell continues to hammer away at the administration's chaotic pullout and call on the president to keep the pressure on the Taliban.
Look, we're talking about a government of medieval theocrats. Medieval theocrats. The same killers, kidnappers, and hostage takers who aided and abetted the terrorist architects of 9/11.
Biden has defended the withdrawal as a necessary conclusion to a, quote, endless war. When asked whether the U.S. is recognizing the Taliban as Afghanistan's legitimate government, Secretary of State Antony Blinken told lawmakers this week that the Taliban is the, quote, de facto government of the country.
A new initiative began Tuesday to address concerns about the addiction crisis and to provide support for individuals impacted by substance abuse. WMKY's Lakin Hupp has the story.
The Kentucky Transformational Employment Program is the result of Senate Bill 191. It fosters economic opportunities for individuals impacted by substance use and to facilitate access to substance use disorder treatment. The KTEP is a collaboration between the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce Foundation, the Cabinet for Health and Family Services, the Office of Drug Control Policy, the Kentuckiana Health Collaborative, and the Kentucky Opioid Response Effort. The Commonwealth is currently ranked 48th in the nation for workforce participation. To make sure the program is working properly, the data is being collected on a regular basis from employers. More information can be found at KentuckyComeback.com. For WMKY News, I'm Lakin Hupp.
Eastern Kentucky University, the Kentucky League of Cities, and the Kentucky Association of Counties are collaborating to help local government employees throughout the state further their education. About 25,000 county and city employees across the Commonwealth are eligible to receive a 30% discounted rate on tuition at EKU. This will also include free textbooks through the university's BookSmart program. Dr. David McFadden is the president at EKU. He tells WKYT the program places EKU as a first-choice partner for education within local governments.
For those who want to better themselves, whether it be with an undergraduate degree, with a graduate degree, or with a certificate, we feel like that having a strong workforce for our cities and our counties is critical to the success of Kentucky going forward.
McFadden says no other college or university has a program like this in the Commonwealth.
The ban on bird feeders has ended. WMKY's Alyssa White has the story.
Earlier this summer, an unknown illness was killing birds across the Commonwealth. The Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife recommended a ban on bird feeding to help slow the spread of disease. The organization received 2,300 reports of sick or dying birds to its online reporting system since the portal went live on June 17. The number of daily reports coming in has steadily declined since the end of June. Staff continue to review all reports and have identified 17 new reports. In addition to the 265 previously reported during the peak of reporting, that are believed to be related to the unexplained bird illness. Many of the reported bird deaths were due to normal causes of mortality. Other reports have contained limited information and were inconclusive. Based on its assessment to date, Kentucky Fish and Wildlife is rescinding its earlier recommendation for residents in six counties to stop feeding birds. The department strongly encourages all residents with bird feeders and bird baths to continue cleaning them on a regular basis and to be on the lookout for any signs of disease and visiting birds. Should signs of disease appear, the department recommends taking down and disinfecting the feeders and bird baths at the location. At this time, a definitive cause for this bird illness has yet to be identified. For WMKY News, I'm Melissa White.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, patchy fog before 10 a.m., otherwise partly sunny skies with a high near 80. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 63. Friday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, otherwise mostly sunny skies with a high near 83. Friday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, otherwise partly cloudy with a low around 65.
On our feature segment today, an Ohio nurse discusses working conditions since the start of the pandemic and how Ohio's COVID-19 mandates differ from the Commonwealth. WMKY's Lakin Hupp has more.
A Southern Ohio nurse who we will call Angela says the pandemic has changed working conditions. She wants to remain anonymous to protect herself and the students she serves. Ohio does not mandate students to wear masks during school hours, but after seeing a 44% increase among school-age kids, many health professionals feel it is necessary. Even though her school was shut down for a week due to rising COVID-19 cases, many of the faculty members remained at school.
My work hours can change day to day. If I've been really busy with COVID, sometimes I have to stay over to do other things or to finish up on COVID, but it varies day to day.
She thinks if masks are to be mandated within a school setting, their offices will be accepting of the order, but faculty members will have issues with student compliance.
Some students wear it. Most students do not. Faculty, there are probably more faculty wearing it, but not 100%. Not a requirement yet here for faculty to be vaccinated. Still their choice if they want to wear it or not.
Until Ohio mandates the vaccine for individuals working in a school setting and students that are 12 and older, it is unclear what the future will hold.
I don't know what people are going to do. They're not really talking about what they want to do at this point. I don't know much about the booster shot yet because we haven't mandated the vaccine at all yet. So I don't know anything about the booster or how it'll affect us.
During a press conference Tuesday, Governor Mike DeWine said if he could put a statewide mandate for students and faculty to wear masks in school, he would. The legislator has made it clear that he does not have the authority to do so. For WMKY News, I'm Lakin Hupp.
Support for MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center, presenting Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band in concert with guests Nick Detmeyer and the Sawdusters, 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, September 16th. A two-time Blues Music Award nominee, Reverend Peyton performs rootsy country blues in support of their latest album, Dance Songs for Hard Times. Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band, 7:30 p.m. Thursday, September 16th at the Mountain Arts Center. Tickets available by calling 606-886-2623 or online at macarts.com.
It's 73 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Rachel Turner, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Tanner Boyd has a look at sports coming up, but first, I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this soggy Wednesday evening.
Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Tanner Boyd reporting. Morehead State University's soccer team is currently in Oxford, Ohio, facing off with Miami. The Eagles bring momentum into their final non-conference road trip, having defeated the Cadets 2-1 at home last Thursday during family weekend. Head coach Warren Lipka says today and Sunday's games will get the team prepared for the competition they'll see within the Ohio Valley Conference.
Yeah, they're going to help us, again, improve You know, we're going to have to really defend really well again against them. And then we finish off with Chattanooga on Sunday away. So we got two away games before we open up conference. And, you know, this is a time that we need to kind of shore some things up and tighten it up and, you know, get our rotations, get our substitutions and that in place.
Live stats of today's game can be viewed on MSUEagles.com. It's senior night for the Rowan County Senior High School volleyball team. The Vikings are coming off a home win last night, defeating Ashland Blazer in three straight sets. Bailey Brashear is one of two seniors who will be moving on after the season. Coach Steve Walters says she's brought a lot to the team through the years.
She has been, basically since her freshman year, a staple in our front row, kind of anchors it down as our middle. She's an excellent hitter. She's a very capable blocker. I know that she plays club outside of our seasons and has got a lot of different folks that are looking at her.
Rowan will host Fleming County this evening. First set gets underway at 7 o'clock. The Rowan County Senior High School football team is putting in the work as they prepare for their road contest this weekend. The game against Greenup County will also come with the opportunity to put the Vikings in the win column. Rowan sits at 2-2 heading into their contest against the Musketeers. Head coach Kelly Ford says his guys have been putting out some great performances, including quarterback Zach Menard, who completed 12 of 15 passes in their game against Fleming County.
He's young. He's a, you know, first time starting on a, you know, this is basically his fourth game starting as a varsity quarterback, and him making those easy passes and giving his receivers a chance to make plays after the catch. He really settled down, and I thought he ran the team very well Friday night, and he's going to be a good quarterback coming down the road.
Kickoff in Greenup County Friday is set for 7:30. Morehead State football is looking to keep their momentum going as they head to Austin-Peay this weekend. The Governors are ranked number 19, so the Eagles know they'll be in for a tough battle. But in terms of strategy, head coach Rob Tenier says his guys will be better off this week. The team saw a midweek opponent change for their family weekend game, and Tenier says they pretty much had to wing it.
So we didn't have much to go on. It was really one of those weeks. It was really about us and going out and getting better and really going out and playing instinctive football. And I think our guys did that. We played really well. You know, first 12 minutes of the game, we played really fast. We played really physical. You know, they didn't even have a first down until the end of the first or second quarter.
Kickoff in Clarksville, Tennessee, Saturday is set for 3 o'clock. As Morehead State University continues to urge those at the institution to get their COVID-19 vaccination, the men's basketball team is helping spread that message. Coming off one of the best seasons in recent history, the team says they want to keep things going this year with as many fans in the stands as possible. Head coach Preston Spradlin appears alongside team members in a video to help the cause.
If we all do this as a team, we'll be able to safely cheer on our Eagles as we defend our OVC title here in Johnson Arena. We challenge our fellow student athletes, coaches, faculty and staff, and of course our fans to take the shot. Let's go Eagles!
The preseason for MSU men's basketball gets underway November 3rd with an exhibition game against Kentucky State. And finally, Morehead State women's golf concluded play at the Golf Week Conference Challenge Tuesday afternoon, where they finished the three-day event in 13th, shooting a 909 in three rounds. The event marked a tremendous improvement for the Eagles since their last appearance at Caledonia Golf and Fish Club in Pawleys Island, South Carolina last spring, bettering their team score by 22 strokes. Sophomore Olivia Hensley led the Eagles for a top 20 finish, and what was the largest field the Eagles have competed against so far this season. In men's golf action, Morehead State fifth-year golfer Joe Mushong led the entire 96-player field in par 5 scoring and even had an eagle amongst his 54 holes. But overall, Morehead State finished in the middle of the pack this week at the Joe Feegan's Invitational. The Eagles wound up ninth among the 15 schools competing, The Eagles return to the course and head north Friday and Saturday at the Earl Yestingsmeyer Invitational at Ball State in Indiana. And that's a check of sports. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Tanner Boyd reporting.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, locally made crafts, education materials, and yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop are open Monday through Saturday. Online, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rebounded today after a string of negative trading sessions, with the blue chip index rising 236.82, finishing at 34,814.39. The S&P 500 was up 0.9% at 4480.70, and the NASDAQ Composite was up just under 1% at 15,161.53. Some bullish economic news released before the bell helped stabilize investor sentiment. The New York Fed's Empire Index, a measure of manufacturing in the region, came in at 34.3 for September, which was way ahead of the 18 number that was a consensus estimate going into the report. Energy stocks, which had been popular bets among investors banking on a big economic recovery, gained as West Texas Intermediate crude oil rose. The Energy Select Sector Spider ETF gained 3.7%. Among heavyweight oil stocks, Exxon was up 3.4%. Rising U.S. Treasury yields helped lift bank stocks, with Citigroup up 2.4% and Morgan Stanley up 1.1%. And industrial names closely linked to the economic recovery gained, with GE and Caterpillar finishing higher. Microsoft was up almost 2% after the company announced a dividend increase and a sizable $60 billion share repurchase program. And casino stocks like Las Vegas Sands and Wynn Resorts traded down actually today, and they were, of course, weak yesterday. Those names took a big hit yesterday on news that the government of Macau is looking to increase regulatory scrutiny over casinos, and Chinese health authorities also reported a COVID-19 outbreak, which hurt the Macau casino industry as well. In the energy markets today, as mentioned, oil was strong, with West Texas Intermediate crude up 3%, finishing at $72.65 a barrel. Gold, on the other hand, was down 0.625% at $1,795.60 an ounce. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was App Harvest up 40 cents at $7.65, Marathon Petroleum up 201 at $59.57, AEP down 50 cents at $87.33, CSX was up 35 cents at 30.85. Humana was down 99 cents at 4.01. And U.S. Bancorp was up $1.89 to finish at 57.80. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Wiley Tanner, Lakin Huff, Alyssa White, Ethan Jenkins, Sarah Mead, Shamari Mosley, Cassidy Stearman, Rachel Turner, and Hallie Adams. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Lakin Huff. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Kenny Lee Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.